Good day, everyone. Hey, this coming Wednesday is going to be big around here for our North students as all locations. Come on, Deer Creek and Guthrie and Oklahoma City, we're going to all come together with our students. And it's going to be a great time as they're going to have a united night of worship together. And they're going to hear God's word. They're going to have a lot of fun, games, activities also. So do this. Load up your minivan. Well, load up your SUV, load up your car, whatever it is. Bring your friends to come experience Jesus and the great things that's happening with North students this coming week. And it will be here at the Oklahoma City location. Again, Guthrie, Deer Creek, Oklahoma City, all coming together, okay? So mark your calendar now. Hey, welcome to Friends and Family Day. I'm glad you're here. And whether that is in Guthrie or Deer Creek or Oklahoma City, or you're online or Freedom House, wherever, I am thrilled that you are a part of what God is doing. And we are continuing with week number 3 of this series called Victory. And basically the premise of it is simply this, simple. Jesus has won the victory. And we got to live in that. We got to follow that example. We got to walk in that, knowing that he has already paved the way for us in victory. And would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. The book of Mark, chapter number 4, a very famous passage. If you've been around church very much, the book of Mark is found in the New Testament. Okay, you got the Old Testament, the New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, chapter number 4. It's a beautiful story of Jesus teaching on the farmer who's sowing seeds on different types of ground. Now, just a little premise of here, Jesus is actually in a boat because the crowds were getting so big on the seashore, he actually got in the boat, pushed out, and he taught the crowds from a boat. And he told about a certain farmer who goes out and scatters seed. One seed lands on a footpath. You know what a footpath is? It's going to be hard. People walk on that. And it says when that seed landed there, the birds of the air came and took the seed. And then there was some seed that was planted on shallow ground. And it was rocky. And so when the heat of the day began to come, it killed the seed. And then the third type of seed was a seed that was planted on good ground. And it started growing. But it was crowded out by the thorns that wrapped around it. And then the fourth scattering of the seed went on fertile ground and produced a great harvest, 30, 60, and 100-fold. How many of you want to be that seed? Right. Now, it's important to understand, okay, what the parable means and what it's speaking of. So first off, the farmer is the messenger of God's word. So let's just take it in context right now. You're here gathered. And I'm the messenger of God's word, and it could be a lot of different messengers. You can be a messenger of God's word and should be, but I'm scattering seed right now. Okay. Secondly is the seed. Who is the seed? What is the seed? The seed is God's word. So write that down. The seed is God's word. Now, if you're not a note taker, we've been talking about this for several weeks now, is that the note takers are the ones that get to go into heaven first. Okay, it's somewhere in the Bible. It also helps for your victory group that you're going to be attending to be able to be prepared. It also is been proven that you can actually retain more when you take mental notes. You write those things down, and you can reflect on them later on. And also, you can go listen to the podcast again and again. Get it again. Get it again. So, then you got the seed is God's word, and then the soil. What is the soil? The soil is you. Me. And then there's Satan in the story. And Satan has a goal. I want you to understand the goal of Satan in your life. Number one, the goal of Satan is he does not want you to receive God's word, believe in God's word, and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. He doesn't want you to become a follower of God. He doesn't want that. Now, if you have decided to follow Jesus and you have committed your life to him, and he says, bummer, that's a big deal. Then second thing that the devil doesn't want to do, he doesn't want you to become fruitful in your life. So if he can't win that first battle, he's like going to be continually battling you every day so that you are not fruitful. Not, he doesn't want you to produce a harvest of righteousness in your life. So Jesus in verse number 14 begins to explain, and let's look at it. real quick. He says, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Did you get that? So there's a strategy that Satan has in our life to keep us from becoming fruitful. Let me give you that strategy. The first one is immediately. As quick as he can possibly take away the seed, he's going to take away that seed. So immediately, he wants to take it away. How does he do that immediately? Let me give you two simple ways. First off is inattentive. And let's use this as an example. I'm scattering the seed. How does he make you inattentive right now? You're tired, you're not focused, you come in, you're distracted, and the message that's going forward, you're really not getting it. To be honest with you, instead of taking notes, you're taking notes all right, but it's notes of your to-do list that you need to do this afternoon or tomorrow. Come on. Or you're inattentive because you're focused on other people and all the distractions that are around you. And so if that is you, and all of us have been there at times, it is an example of seed that's being scattered that has immediately been taken away. You didn't even get it today. Let me give you another way that it's immediately taken away, ill will. If you come in and you've got ill will, what do I mean by that? Let me just break it down in some very practical terms. Unforgiveness. You have a difference with somebody. You have a struggle with somebody. You're mad at somebody. And what's happened is that unforgiveness, that ill will to someone else, keeps you from not receiving the word of God. Matter of fact, Jesus talked about once in the Bible, he said, if you come to the altar with your gift and present your gift, but remember that you have a difference with your brother, he says, leave the gift at the altar, go take care of the problem with your brother or sister, then come back. Because he's saying that word is not going to sprout as long as there is ill will there, unforgiveness. Let me give you another word with ill will, prejudice. Okay? Now, when I talk about prejudice, yes, it can be a racial issue, but I'm just take those words, prejudge. If you come in here and you're prejudging other people, you're prejudging our church, you're prejudging me because like I'm up here like not in a suit and I cannot have the anointing of God without a suit. And the pastor, what is that thing you're wearing around your shoulder? I mean, what? Get real on that. Like, if you do not know, if this is the first time you've seen this sling, it's the first time you've been to North Church in 3 weeks. So welcome back to North, okay? Prejudge. So you prejudge even like the translation. I've had that happen many times. How many emails have I received about what is the true word of God? Come on, get over it. Just get God's word in you. But that prejudging is keeping you from receiving God's word. Let's continue on. Verse number 16. The seed on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Okay, now, something's happening here. The seed is sprouting. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. This past week, it was really interesting. The winds got up in Oklahoma and started blowing. Like Shannon was talking, we'd planted some trees, and there was like this little tree. It's about 3 foot high and planting in the backyard in a pot. And Shannon was concerned because the winds were going to get up. She said, it's going to blow over. And because the winds are going to get up, which is really kind of odd in Oklahoma for the winds to get up for any significant amount. In fact, you know what you call an F1 tornado in Oklahoma, don't you? It's the wind. I mean, other states get all concerned. We don't. We're like, hey, there's an F1. It's a windy day today. So the wind did come, and it knocked that tree over. And so I went and got it and moved it for a little bit, but then Shannon later on went and dug it deeper, replanted it so that it could withstand the winds. Do you realize in the Old Testament, it talks about the palm tree. You know what the palm tree is so awesome at? Withstanding the hurricane winds. You can have winds of sustained of 100, 150 miles an hour. That palm tree will begin to bend all the way over almost on the ground because of the winds and the storms. But after the storm passes, it may look like it's not going to survive, but eventually it will begin to rise back up. It is built for the storm. We want to be Christians that are built for the storm, that have our roots grounded deep in God's word so that when the problems and struggles of life come, we can withstand whatever Satan brings our way. Let's continue on. Notice what it says. It says, they fall away as soon as they have problems and are what? Persecuted for believing God's word. So the first is immediately, but secondly is eventually. Satan steals the word from us. Eventually, over time. And how does he use over time? Two simple things that were mentioned here. Problems and persecution. Problems. The storms of life. We give up. We throw in the towel. It's not worth it. You know what? Then persecution. What is it? Yeah, it could be attacks of other people. When we think of persecution here, it could be like the church that's being persecuted around the world for their faith. Yeah, that can happen. You can have a little bit of persecution at your job. But let me talk about persecution in regards to the attacks of the devil on your mind. You know what that works? Here's how the devil persecutes you. With believing God's word, it says persecuted for believing God's word. You believe God's word, you receive God's word, and you believe that God's going to heal, but God doesn't heal that person like you think they should have been healed, and they end up dying, or they get cancer, or this happens in your life. And you know what? You just say, forget it then. You're persecuted because Satan comes, and he says, if God is real, that would not have happened. You know what? When the devil comes to you, remind yourself and just remember that he is a liar and that he is a father of lies and that we serve a good God and we serve a faithful God and we don't understand everything that happens in this life, but we know this, that our God has never left us, never forsaken us. His word will not return void. And when we have persecution come in our life by Satan attacking our mind, sink your roots that much deeper in God's word and be founded, because you will get through that. And at the end, you will say, Satan, you're not right. God's right. Let every man be a liar. My God stands true. So, eventually, through problems and persecution, let's continue on. Look at verse number 18. The seed that fell among thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out. I underlined that word, crowded out, those two words, by the, get this, the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So, no, what? Fruit is produced. Crowded out. So if the devil can't get you immediately or eventually, you know what he does? He will try to get you unknowingly. And this is so many people in the church world, so many people that may be listening to me right now, that life has crowded out the seed that's been planted, that's wanting to produce a mighty harvest. How does life crowd out? It says the worries of life. You know, a better translation there is actually the busyness of life. You're busy running around like a chicken with your head cut off, and you know what's happening? All those worries, all those things which are really meaningless, when everything's said and done, it is amazing how much of what we do really is not going to matter when it's all said and done. And the things that really matter in life are being crowded out. The worries of life. So two things, worries, wealth, did you get that? Unknowingly through the chasing after a better job, more money, better home, better car. All those things that we chase after that are so innocent, and we begin to stack up the debt, and the debt's big, and all of a sudden I can't prioritize the things of God and tithing and giving to him, and we're taking care of all these other things and the worries of life and the wealth and the pursuing after, and now we are flustered. We're struggling. We're running our kids around to activities and events and recitals and ball games, and we're running here and there, and we got this job and that job, and all these things are happening because we're trying to move forward in life, and all the while the word of God is being crowded out of our life. So that we can't be really fruitful. You see, and the desire for wealth is not a rich thing. I've met rich people that are not pursuing wealth. And I've met poor people that aren't pursuing wealth. And I've met rich people that are pursuing wealth. And I've met poor people that are after wealth. It's all a perspective on what matters most to you in life. Unknowingly. Which brings me to the goal. Look at this, verse number 20. And the seed that fell on good soil. How many want to be the good soil? Represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. Let that be me, God. Let that be the people I'm speaking to right now, God. But he says, hear and accept God's word. What does that mean? Faith cometh by hearing. We understand that. But what does it mean to accept? I went back and looked up that word. I won't dive back into the Greek and the word of the Greek, but it actually means, let me give you other words it means. To accept means to embrace, to let it absorb in you, to put it into practice. So you hear it and then you respond to it. You do it. James chapter number 1 speaks of that. He gives a warning to us that we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word also. And then he gives the example. The example is this. He says, don't be like the person who goes and stands in front of the mirror and you look at yourself and see all the changes that need to be made. But yet you walk away without making those changes. How many of you would, in the morning time, dream of even getting up, walking in there, looking at yourself in the mirror, and you see all that needs to happen and walking away without doing anything? No, you look and you see those things in those eye boogers and you get them out. Come on, ladies, you look and see, and you begin to do your work. I was preaching this Thursday night, and there was a lady on the front row. She just said, be careful, Pastor. I'm trying to be careful. You produce your magic. So you walk out in the world, boom. But why is it that we listen to God's word week after week, or we never get into God's word, and we see the changes that need to happen in our life, and we do nothing about it? My heart breaks because God's word for me, my family, has become the central part of everything. It's not because I get up and preach it, because my dad, I saw him as a farmer carry God's word. We have a break any time of the day. He'd open God's word and read God's word. We read God's word together at night. God's word was important. I give this. I've got a mathematic equation I'm going to show you. Okay? Now, I throw that up on the screen. Some of you right now are starting to break out in hives. Like, oh, please don't call me out. Okay? If you do not know the answer to that, you probably failed 9th grade algebra. But basically, right there, you have the 7 and the 34 are the constants. Remember that? If you don't even remember the constants and variables and coefficients, then you surely didn't pass. So the 7 and 34 are the constants. The 3 is the coefficient. And the x is the what? Now, hear me on this. When we talk about this message, you know what the constant is? The constant's the seed. The constant's the word of God. The constant is never changing. The constant has been there at the very beginning, and it's going to be there at the end. And the word of God is always the same. You know what the variable is? It's the X. It's the soil, not the seed. And the soil is you and me. And the harvest is dependent upon the variable. What are we going to let God do in our life? I was with my dad. He came up a few weeks ago, and I had a bunch of seed that I was going to be planting out in my yard. It was fescue, and I was going to be scattering it out. And Daddy asked me what the germination rate was. And I said, the German who? And I knew what he's talking about, but he said, the germination rate. And I was like, well, I don't know. How do you tell? And he pulled up the little tag on the seed, and he said, oh, it shows here that it's a 90% germination rate, which is really good. That means you've got some really good seed. I said, great. I said, what does that mean exactly? He says that if it is planted in good soil and has the water, that 9 out of 10 are going to germinate and produce a blade of grass. I thought that was interesting. But let me just say this when it comes to the Word of God being the seed in our life. That when the Word of God finds the right soil, it's not going to have a germination rate of 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%, not even 99%. The Word of God is guaranteed in your life. And if the soil is ripe and ready, it's going to produce 100% germination rate every single time. And that ought to make you shout. That's God's Word, folks. So, let's talk about the stages of the seed. There's the scattering stage. Then there is the growing stage. And then there is the harvesting stage. But it's not so much the stages that I want you to get. It's how your soil needs to be worked that I want you to get. Okay? So look at this. Mark chapter number 4. Let's look at what Jesus says. Starting with verse number 26. He says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. So the seed is being scattered everywhere. So write this down. The first thing is that the scattering stage equals the breaking of the soil. The breaking of the soil. What does that mean to you if you're the soil and the breaking of the soil? What does that mean? It means the breaking of your heart, the breaking of your life, so that you're broken up so that the Spirit of God can do what He wants to do in your life through the planting of seed. I got a picture here on the farm. Plowing is very important. And this picture shows you kind of the turning over. That's a very old tractor. We actually had one of those on our farm. But most of our tractors we use were obviously huge tractors with a lot of power and might. But I wanted you to get that image because that image is so important to what happens in your life spiritually and how you prepare for the scattering of the Word of God. If you're just showing up every week and you have broken ground, when I give the Word of God, it's just going to be like on a footpath because we get hard because of life, we get busy, things happen, and all of a sudden it's taken away immediately. I don't want you to be that. I want you to be broken, and I want you to be deep. You know, on the farm, you had to break the ground over and over and over again, and the deeper you went, the better. Because sometimes you got to break that ground up. And then my dad would say, anytime we broke up and there was rocks that we found, we'd get out, stop the tractor, get the rocks, put it on the plow till they get to the end of the row, and then we would throw it off because the rocks need to be removed. And sometimes we got to go deep enough to get the rocks, the hard things out of our life and begin to rip them out. And that's not easy. That's not hard. It's time consuming. It takes great effort. But we must be prepared for the Word of God in our life. Hosea says this. Look what he says. Hosea says, break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. So he's saying here, there's a spiritual process of breaking up the unplowed areas of our life, because it's time to seek the Lord. And how long do we break it up? How long do we seek the Lord? Let's get this. Until He comes and showers His righteousness on you. So many times we stop just short. Keep digging, keep breaking until God showers down His righteousness on your life. We used to call it in church a breakthrough. Pray till you have a breakthrough. Worship till you have a breakthrough. And I think so many times we miss that today because we're so busy going about life, but we got to put on pause sometimes in life. We got to come back to the house of God. We got to come back in our own life and say, God, keep breaking me up until I have a breakthrough and You shower Your blessings on my life. Let's continue on. Look at verse number 27. He says, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't even understand how it happens. Man, there's some things in my life that I look back on and said, I don't know how God did that. Because you see, it's not God's responsibility. I mean, it's not my responsibility to make it grow. You know whose responsibility it is? It's God's. There's some things that you're stressing over that you just need to go to sleep and let God do it. Plant the seed, plow the ground, let God do His thing. Continue on. The earth produces the crops on its own. A leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, And finally, the grain ripens. So, I need help though. My assistant, hand me this. This is a garden tool called a hoe. Now, I decided a long time ago when I was talking about hoeing that the next time I talk about hoeing, I'm going to bring a garden tool, the actual hoe, up on stage because it created a lot of confusion. I grew up on a farm, country boy. Hoeing means a whole different thing for me than it does for city folk. In fact, I was speaking to a group of college students some time ago, and I did not have this garden tool up here, and I was preaching about me going out and hoeing, and there was a lot of confusion in the house. So the second thing with it is the growing stage. And the growing stage is equal to cultivating the soil. You got to work the ground, folks. You planted it. You know what? We use this on the farm. Well, I would use this, and I would get out, and Dad would put me out there with like half a mile long rows, heat of the day. We were cleaning out the weeds, the thorns, anything that should not be there. We were weeding it out, working it out. I remember Dad coming and looking at times and say, "Hey, boys, how's it going?" I said, "Oh, going good, Dad. We covered this much area." And he said, "No, you're not doing it right." I said, "No," because it was easier for me to go along and just knock the tops off. And so it'd go down to the ground, but just like, and Dad would go back and point out and say, no. "See what you're doing here? This is going to come back really quick. In fact, in a couple of days, you got to get down and get the roots of the weeds. You got to get down and then you got to bring the soil up around the plant, and that's how you do it." You see, I think sometimes we, as Christians, know how to knock the tops off, and we're kind of looking really good to everybody else, but the truth of the matter is there are still roots of seeds, of weeds, and of thorns in our life that God wants to get out, and it's going to take some good old-fashioned cultivating by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to get those things out. And if you want to produce 30, 60, 100 times, you got to give the due diligence to get out and cultivate the Word of God that's been planted in your life. And how do you do that? By cultivating the soil, and that is you, folks. Thank you. Look at this. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 6, "I have planted the seed in your hearts," Paul said, "and Apollos watered it. But it is God who makes it grow." It is God who makes it grow. You know, while we cultivate and we do our best, we cannot take any responsibility to ourselves that we're the ones that did it. Hear me. What's happened at North Church and all locations and the lives that are being changed and the thousands of people that are being touched has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with our staff. We're just simply people that are trying to cultivate the soil so that there can be a harvest of souls. It's the Word of God that goes forth. And it's you that are receiving God's word, that is receiving it with joy and sinking your roots down, and there's a harvest of righteousness. Let's continue on. Look at verse number 29. "But as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." The harvest time has come. Write this down. Is the third stage is the harvesting stage. But harvesting is equal to reaping the soil that it's produced. And sometimes we get this image in our brain is that the harvest is the easy part. Look at the person next to you and say, no, the harvest is the hard part. Look at the other person and say, the harvest is the most crucial part. Because it's time sensitive, because it's very important. And I meet so many people that stop just short of their harvest, stop just short of the breakthrough, stop just short of where God wants to take them. Don't do it, folks. It's going to be hard. I remember on the farm, we had 3,000 acres and a lot of things that we did, but several years there, we had like 40 acres of watermelons. I'm talking tractor trailer loads out. Hard physical work. A lot of my football team was out there working. We'd have us 20 of us guys loading up tractor trailer loads of watermelons. And my dad would take a break. And after a little bit of a break, dad would say to us, hey, he said, boys, get back to work. The watermelons are not going to harvest themselves. The harvest doesn't happen by chance. The harvest happens because you have broke the soil, because you have cultivated the soil, and because you're willing to get in and harvest what has been produced. And that's hard work. And don't give up in well-doing. Keep working, knowing that God is faithful. And that if you keep plowing the ground, if you keep cultivating the soil, there is going to be a harvest of righteousness in due time. You don't know when it's going to come, but that's why you don't give up, because some give up just short of the miracle. Keep on harvesting and keep working, because God is going to give the increase. Look at verse number 30. Verse number 30 is very important. It says, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God, and what story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and the birds can make nests in its shade. You know what this is an image of? This is an image of what can happen with that small seed. My family, we went on the first vacation we ever went on, real vacation. When I said, because previous vacations where we would like, it would be raining that day on the farm, and we would go to the, I got to be careful with my terminology being where I'm raised from, but we'd call it something called the strip pit. That stuff can get me in trouble. Hoeing and strip pits can get you in trouble. A strip pit was basically a rock quarry where basically the ground was dug up for rock. And over the years, that happened back in the 1910s, 1920s, and over the years, water filled it up, and it was a place we went swimming. It was clear, it was deep, it was cold. It was a wonderful place that we'd go and just enjoy a picnic and swim. And mom and dad said, we're going to go on a real vacation. So we had 6 days. We worked all day that day, and at midnight we left. In 6 days, we went from Spiral, Oklahoma, to the Grand Canyon, to Los Angeles, to Bakersfield, California, to the Pismo Beach area, over to the Redwoods, to Yosemite National Park, all the way across Utah, all the way across Denver, back across over into Oklahoma, and home in 6 days. Just put the math to that. Our hotel room was the 74 Ford Astro van. Okay? When we stopped at the Grand Canyon, we stopped and Dad said, boys, you got 20 minutes. 20-minute tour of the Grand Canyon. When we got to the Redwoods, close to Yosemite National Park, and we saw those redwoods, I was blown away. To see the seed that had produced such a mighty tree. Knowing that those trees can withstand almost any fire. Knowing that those trees were over 2,000 years old. Looking up hundreds of feet in the air. With the base of that tree big enough that our van could drive through. You stood in awe of what God can do. But in your life, the seed of the Word of God planted into your heart can produce no less of a miracle, even something greater that goes for generations to come. Don't give up. Matter of fact, write this down. The smallest of seed in the right soil can produce a mighty sequoia. The smallest of seed in the right soil can produce a mighty sequoia. Close your eyes with me. Let God prepare your heart right now for the word that has went forth. Break up the fallow ground. Father, I pray now, your Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill this place. Fill it in Guthrie. Fill it in Deer Creek, Oklahoma City, Freedom House. God, the seed has been scattered. May our soil be ready. Plow up the unplowed ground. Break it up, God. May we cultivate the seed that is growing and wanting to grow so the thorns don't take it away. God, may we harvest and stick with it to reap what you've given us. I pray this is done in your name, Lord. God, some don't need to give up on a marriage, on their children, on parents, on jobs, on future, on dreams, on struggles that need to be broken, and addictions that need to be set free from. Not give up, not give up. I pray this in your name, the name above every name.